Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I am your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me as I bring forth your message this day. Father God, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. Father God, I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. Father God, I pray for the increase of our congregation, Father God. I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. Father God, I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. Father God, I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations receive deliverance. And Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness receive the light of your salvation. Oh, Father God, we thank you for supplying our every need. And Father God, all these blessings we ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you're listening to Pray One for Another. I am your host, Evangelist Helder, and this is our sweet hour of prayer. We pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Fridays. And at 6 p.m., I will come back with a word from the Lord this evening on this happy Friday. Praise be to God. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here every day from 6 to 7 p.m. And we pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. So I'm sure there is something that someone needs prayer for. Amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's sing it like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem.
The problem may be,
he's in control.
He's in control and he knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
cause I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what, the problem may be,
he's in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
Him I live, I move,
in
and
him I live,
I
move, and have my king.
Say
team.
Like the best of people.
Best of peace.
Come on, lift them up in here.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say that again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may
be. Come on, clap your hands like this. Sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live.
Can you believe that? Sing this with us. Let's go.
Evangelist Hilda taking prayer requests at this time. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here for this purpose, and only from 6 to 7 p.m. is to pray one for another. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And it's just as simple as that. So call in your prayer request at this time. In the meantime, I will play another selection. Praise be to God.
I want you to open up your heart and let God's Spirit come in. Come on, sing. Sing.
We come to assemble. Lamenting, lamenting.
shot me with your arrow of love. For so long, I was searching for somewhere to belong. Then you came and caught me with stretched out arms. I didn't want you to believe it could happen.
Praise be to God. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Helder, and this is our sweet hour of prayer. We pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesdays through Fridays. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. So won't you call in your prayer request at this time, 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
Thank you. how your love will never fade. Mere words cannot express what I feel inside. I can't describe your glory divine, but as a token of my love, this is what I'll do.
Now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Praise be to God. Okay, the title of this message is The Cost. Scripture reading for this message is coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. And we're going to read verses 25 through 30, where it says, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Praise be to God. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill, he said, and to fulfill scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked in it and put on a hyssop branch and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and released his spirit. Praise be to God for the reading of his mighty word. Amen. The text for this message is coming from John chapter 19, verse 30. And it says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Amen. The writer says, Michelangelo's work explored many facets of the life of Jesus. Yet one of the most potent was also one of the most simple. In the 1540s, he sketched a picture of Jesus' mother holding the body of the dead Christ for his friend Vittoria Colonia, done in chalk. The drawing depicts Mary looking to the heavens as she cradles her son's still formed, rising behind Mary. The upright beam of the cross carries these words from Dante's Paradise. There they don't think of how much blood it costs. Michelangelo's point was profound. When he contemplates the death of Jesus, we must consider the price he paid. The price paid by Christ is captured in his dying declaration. "It is finished," in John 19 and 30. The term for "it is finished," tetasila, was used in several ways to show a bill had been paid, a task finished, a sacrifice offered, a masterpiece completed. Each of them applies to what Jesus did on our behalf on the cross. Perhaps that's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and 14, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Jesus' willingness to take our place is the eternal evidence of how much God loves us. As we contemplate the price he paid, may we also celebrate his love and give thanks for the cross. Amen. To God be the glory. Question. How could each meaning of tetelestia be applied to the cross of Jesus and what he accomplished there? Why does each one have meaning to you? Let us pray. Father, when we consider the sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf, we are humbled and deeply grateful. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Again, this is our sweet hour of prayer. We're here to pray from every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. From this place where I'm at, yeah. I need an answer, and you know all the facts. I'm done all I can, tired of making mistakes over and over again. So I'm calling on you, and you always know what to do. So I'm praying to thee. When I get up, I'll stand in victory. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Take away the hurt. When I can't seem to make it work, I've done all that I can. Turn on your word, I'm ready to stand. So I'm hearing your voice in silence and in melody, yeah. So I'm flowing in your will. All that I am, I have to fulfill. Oh, move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and grace, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, work, and family, and pray that you will send angels to protect us. May you mend every broken heart. Touch all who need healing. Comfort all who mourn. And bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, we're almost at the closing of our sweet hour of prayer. And I just want to let you know that you can call in your prayer requests any day, Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. So again, if you have a prayer request, maybe somebody you want to pray for, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, even a stranger or an enemy, whatever it is that God puts on your heart to ask for prayer for, we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. 319-527-6204. Praise be to God.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, let's assemble. We gonna have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God
is sustaining me. Don't you know God? And no eyes
covered me in his blood. His love, only his love, restores my soul, restores my soul forever. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see, he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel him all over me. Yeah.
And no matter
what the circumstance, his blood. Somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustaining me.
Sometimes you gotta call him,
Jesus.
You gotta call on him,
sustaining me.
My Lord.
Sustains me
late in the midnight hour,
sustaining me
when I can't sleep at night,
sustains me
trouble,
God is sustaining
trouble on the mind.
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes your friends,
God, it's sustaining me. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And at this time, I'm going to play a selection. And after the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. Because all belongs to you.
Belongs to you. All the worship,
Amen. Praise be to God. All belongs to you, Lord. And precious and heavenly Father, we come this evening to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. We thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our friends. And we, Lord God, we even thank you for our enemies. We ask that you bless each and every one of them in your own special way and guide them in the way that you would have them to go. We ask that you bless the nation of Israel and Jerusalem. Bless them, Lord God, and guide them in the way that you would have them to go. Bless our president and his family, our vice president and her family. Bless all of those in authority. Touch each and every one of their hearts and guide them in the way that you would have them to go, Lord God. We ask that you watch and bless those in prison cells and juvenile halls. We ask that you bless those in the hospitals and nursing homes. Touch them where they need to be healed. Guide them where you need them to go, Lord God. We ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. Now, Lord God, remove Hilda out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to be anointed and to bring forth what thus says the Lord. Open up our ears to hear, our hearts to perceive, and our eyes to see what thus says the Lord. Let this day be what you would have it to be, Lord God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Okay. So, my scripture reading for this evening is coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 22 through 35. Praise be to God. Jesus is the bread from heaven. Amen? Let us begin. Verse 22, John 6, and we're going to read 22 through 35, where it says, "The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. 24. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boat and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understand the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. They replied, we want to perform God's work too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. They answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. So what can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scripture says Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses did not give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. So as this great chapter opens, we find Jesus preaching to a hungry multitude. As he finished his message, he is aware that they are in need of food for their bodies. So he does that which only God himself could do. He takes 5 small loaves and 2 small fishes and feed a multitude that probably neared 15,000 people. After all, the people were satisfied. The disciples took up 12 baskets filled with the fragments of this miracle. One basket for every doubting disciple. This remarkable miracle served as a life-size illustration for a sermon that Jesus was about to preach, a portion of which we have read. In this passage, we are presented with a new portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage, Jesus is presented as the bread of life. This is an interesting portrait of Jesus, since bread is a substance known and used by every society on the face of the earth. From the American who goes to the store to buy his bread, to the savage who cooks his daily ration of bread on a stone beside his fire, bread is consumed by people everywhere. And by the same token, most people enjoy their bread, while some like meat and others don't, or some like greens and others don't. Most people like bread. Bread is one of the few foods that can be tolerated by most digestive system. Also, bread has a satisfying quality that few other food products have. Anyway, you slice it, bread is good, and it is a food that most people need. Use and enjoy. When all this is taken together, it becomes clear why Jesus is the portrait as the bread of life. This evening, as we take the time to dissect these words of our Lord, I want you to see that Jesus is still the bread of life. Amen. He is what the whole world needs. He satisfies all those who partake of him. There isn't a person in the world who cannot tolerate him. And there isn't a person who won't enjoy him when they meet him. Therefore, let's spend a few minutes this evening in these verses and look together at Jesus, the bread of life. And my title for this evening is The Bread of Life. So right now, let's take a look at the personality of heaven's bread. Now, verses 34 through 35 says, heaven's bread is a person. According to these verses, the bread of heaven is not a system or a denomination, but he is a person. This truth simply serves to remind us that we can never be saved by some religious system or method. Salvation comes through Jesus and Jesus alone in Acts 4 and 12. Verse 35, heaven's bread has power. This heavenly bread has the power to save, to secure and satisfy every sinner who comes to him by faith. This is what separates Jesus from all the religions and self-proclaimed messiahs of the world. While they promise great things, they can deliver only death. Proverbs 16 and 25. Jesus, on the other hand, promises life, salvation, and security. Satisfaction and absolutely safety for the soul of man. And he delivers every time. I don't know about you, but that is the kind of Savior to which I want to give my heart. Amen. Praise be to God. Verses 47 through 51, heaven's bread has promise. Now, these verses tells us that heaven's bread will give man life. Physical bread can sustain human life for long periods of time. However, after a time, the body will still die. Even though it has been well fed, Jesus, on the other hand, is bread that gives everlasting life. Whew, praise be to God. When Jesus is received, he gives a salvation that lasts for all eternity. Nothing can ever take that away from the saint of God. The simple fact is this: every person who places their faith in Jesus for salvation is going to live forever. Hallelujah. Verse 53 tells us heaven's bread has a price. Before heaven's bread can be enjoyed by the sinner, it must be received by the sinner. Now, this is a simple enough thing. But many seem to stumble right here. They can believe that Jesus was real, that he died on the cross, and even that he arose from the dead. However, to make his sacrifice and the salvation he offers a reality in your life and my life, we must come to him by faith and be born again. Praise be to God. Now, imagine that you are invited to my house for dinner. I pass you a plate of hot buttered biscuits. I pass them to you and say, "Have a biscuit?" You say, "Yes, I would love one." But instead of reaching out and taking it, you simply sit there and smile. I say, "I thought you wanted a biscuit." And you responded, "Oh, I do." My response would be, "Well, if you want it, you are going to have to reach out and take it for yourself. I am not going to put it on your plate for you." Salvation works the same way. Jesus has already done everything that is necessary to save the sinner. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he caused the sinner to come unto him. He has done all that he can do. Before you can be saved, you are going to have to come to him by faith. It won't cost you a dime to be saved. Isaiah 55 and 1, Revelation 22 and 17, but it does require that you receive him by faith. Now notice verse 47, to be saved, you have to believe in Jesus. This word simply means to rest the totality of your weight upon him. It isn't Jesus plus this or that. It is Jesus alone that saves the soul of man. Praise be to God. Now let's take a look at the personality of heaven's bread. The presentation of heaven's bread. Verses 1 through 13 illustrated by the miracle in feeding the 5,000. Jesus presented a type of himself. He is shown caring for the multitude, providing for the multitude, and satisfying the multitude. The implication is that Jesus, like the physical loaves and fishes, is sufficient for the need of mankind. Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior. Notice, every man took as much as they would. In verse 11, then after that had filled themselves, there was still an abundance left over. In verse 13, Now, even though hundreds of millions have been saved by the grace of God, there is always grace for one more. Jesus is sufficient for the needs of the entire world. Men wear themselves out trying to placate God through religion and religious practice. But Jesus is the answer for the need of mankind. He is received, just like the bread on the mountain, by simple faith. All the multitude had to do was take what the disciples passed their way. It works the same way for the sinner. All the lost man has to do is receive Jesus by faith, and salvation is the result. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. In verses 30 through 33, illustrated by the manna, the Jews come to Jesus and request a miracle. What did they call the feeding of the multitude? And they reminded Jesus of the Old Testament miracle of the manna. They tell Jesus that Moses gave the children of Israel manna, and they want to know what he is going to do. Christ's response is to remind them that Moses was not responsible for the manna, but that it was the provision of God. He goes on to tell them that the true bread from heaven is a person. In fact, it is Jesus himself who is the bread of life. In verse 33, what Jesus is saying is that the manna was a type of himself. Notice the various ways that the manna speaks of Jesus. Number one, it was small. In Exodus 16:14, this speaks of Christ's humility. He wasn't born in a king's palace, but in a manger. He never implored the riches at his disposal, but lived a poor life all the time he was in this world. Mark 8 and 20. He came this way in order to identify himself with the sinners he came to save. Number two, it was round. Exodus 16:14. This speaks of Christ's eternal nature. Jesus did not have his beginning in Bethlehem, but he has always been. In John 1:1, Jesus is the eternal Son of God. There has never been a time when he wasn't there. Will never be a time when he will not be. He is the I am. Number three, it was white. Exodus 16 and 31 says, this reminds us of the sinless, holy nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born without sin, lived without sin, and died without sin. He was absolutely impeccable in his character. Jesus is the sinless Son of God. 1 Peter 2 and 22, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Number four, it came at night. Exodus 16:13-14, Jesus came to a world lost in spiritual darkness and gave them light and life. Number five, it was misunderstood by those who found it. In Exodus 16:15, they called it manna, which means, what is it? Jesus was misunderstood by the very people he came to save in John 1 and 11, John 10 and 20. By the way, he is still misunderstood today. He is more than a teacher, a prophet, a poor, unfortunate man who got himself killed. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Number six, it was sufficient for every man's need. Exodus 16:17-18. This reminds us that Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior. He meets the need of man's soul. Some go deep in the Christian life. Others get in but choose to play around the edges. But wherever you find yourself, as long as it is in Jesus, you will find that he is sufficient to save your soul. God gave them approximately 240 boxcars of manna per day for 38 years. What a God we serve. Number seven, it was sweet to the taste. In Exodus 16:31, those who partook of the manna found it sweet and satisfying. By the same token, all those who receive Jesus as their Savior find him to be sweet to the soul and satisfying to the life. That is why we are encouraged by David to, in Psalms 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Praise be to God. Number eight, it was to be kept and passed on to others. Exodus 16:32. Jesus is the same way. He is to be shared with those who cross our path. We are to be certain that we share him with the next generation, because we are only one generation away from extinction as a people at any given time. 2 Timothy 2 and 2. And number nine, there is more that could be said about the manna, but that is enough to let us see that it is a perfect type of Jesus. In verses 52-58, illustrated by the Master, Jesus says that he is the ultimate bread. The Israelites ate of the manna in the wilderness, and eventually they died. The crown was filled on the mountainside, yet eventually they too died. Jesus is the antitype of the manna. All that it was, he exceeds. Jesus is greater than the bread given out on the mountainside. All who partake of him will live forever. His guarantee is that they will never die. His guarantee is one of eternal life to all who come to him. John 10:28, John 4:14. After all, Jesus is the real bread, the personality of heaven's bread, the presentation of heaven's bread, the performance of heaven's bread. In verse 51, it grants salvation. Man can try any method of salvation he chooses. That is one of the great privileges of being a human. God has created us with a free will. We have the ability to choose how we will live our lives. However, regardless of how a man lives or what path he chooses for life, salvation will never be produced in the life of any person anywhere unless they come to Jesus Christ by faith. That may seem narrow-minded and simplistic, but that is what the Bible teaches. And that is how it is. It will always be. In Acts 16:31, Acts 4:12, John 3:16. There are not many things in life that I can guarantee. I do not know what will happen to the president. I do not know what will happen with the economy. I do not know what will happen with the Y2K problem in the year 2000, but I do know that every sinner who comes to Jesus by faith, repenting of his sins and accepting Jesus as Savior, will be saved by grace, by the grace of God, and will live forever in heaven someday. I know this because I have the word of the Lord on the matter. Verse 35, it gives satisfaction. We have already touched on this aspect of Jesus, but suffice it to say that those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ are eternally satisfied. They no longer have to drink from the broken cisterns of this world, the methods and the added activities of the world, but find themselves tapped into a source of life and blessings that never runs dry. There is abundance satisfaction in the person of Jesus. This world can never satisfy longings of the human soul. In Greek mythology, King Tantalus was punished in the underworld by being chained in a lake. Its water reaches to his chin, but receded when he bent down to satisfy his burning thirst. Over his head were branches laden with choice fruit, but they immediately withdrew whenever he reached upward to satisfy his hunger, a symbol of utter frustration. His name is immortalized in the English word, tantalized. So, to seeking to know God or to satisfy the human soul apart from Christ is utterly futile. Verses 37 through 40, it guarantees our security. These verses tells us beyond any shadow of a doubt that those who place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ need never fear being cast away or forgotten about along the way or even in the end. Faith in Jesus guarantees us perfect and absolute security in our salvation relationship. Jesus did not save us to lose us along the way. He saved us to take us home with him someday. Many doubt the security of the believer. They feel that their security depends on them and what they can do. They have the opinion that they are responsible for maintaining their salvation, and that if they let down on their God, or if they are guilty of some sin or the other, they will lose what they have and will have to get it all over again. If they don't die first, this could not be any farther from the truth. Salvation is the gift of God. It is a forever work. Man has nothing to do with it. Man cannot earn it. It keep it or lose it. Salvation is totally work of the Almighty. And when he gives it, he gives it forever. Those who are saved by the grace of God are absolutely secured in their salvation. And as I bring this message to a closing, I just want to say, from these verses, it is plain to see that Jesus is the only hope for the world. He is what the soul of man needs, for it can experience eternal life. The question that comes to us at this point is this: what have you done with Jesus? Have you received him into your heart and life? Are you secure in his salvation this evening? If something were to happen to you and you die, where would your soul spend eternity? You can only honestly say heaven if you have eaten heaven's bread. What I mean is this: you are only saved if you have come to Jesus as a sinner, have confessed your sins, and have placed your faith in Jesus alone for salvation. Do you know Jesus, the bread of life, in a personal way? If not, you can, if you will come to him right now. Will you do as he calls you to do? Will you come to Jesus right now? I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. Amen. And again, if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. All you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father.
Father.
I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy.
I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy.
Lord, please have mercy on me.
Lord, please have mercy on me.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Save me.
Save me.
Deliver me.
Deliver me.
And set me free from all that hinders and binds me.
And set me free from all that hinders and binds me.
Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again.
Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again.
I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ.
I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ.
Died for my sins.
Died for my sins.
Was resurrected from the dead.
Was resurrected from the dead.
Is alive.
Is alive.
And hears my prayer.
And hears my prayer.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward.
Become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward.
I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you.
I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you.
And do your will for the rest of my life.
And do your will for the rest of my life.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do right now, basically our church's doors are not completely open yet, but some are open and some are not, and they're only taking a few people at a time. But all you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to a good Bible teaching church to continue your faith walk. Amen. And as I give the benediction from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. And let us all say amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I'd like to ask my guest online, which is the fivefold, to give a brief response on how you enjoyed the word this evening. And that's our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this evening?
I'm blessed, Evangelist Hilda. How are you this evening?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Praise be to God.
Amen. What was the title of that? Did you say the title?
Mm-hmm. It's Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, the bread of life.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Jesus, the bread of life. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But I'm glad I didn't miss this sermon today, because this was a wonderful sermon of Evangelist Hilda.
Amen.
It's always good to hear about Jesus and what happens when you seek after him and put our full trust in him, you know.
Amen.
And to know that Jesus is the true bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm quite sure our radio listeners got something out of that today. That Jesus is the true bread. He is the bread of life, as you mm-hmm. have said. And he has all power to save, secure, and satisfy every sinner that
Amen.
Is saved.
Yes,
and that's something
Amen.
Wonderful to know, that he is
Amen.
Has the power to save, satisfy, and secure
mm-hmm.
every sinner that is
every
saved on this earth.
Yes.
And he offers safety of the soul. That's
yes.
one of the things you said, Ben, so that he orders safety of the soul.
Yes,
that is
he
so
is.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil can't just take you back, you know, as he wishes to do so, because
no,
you walk in, before Jesus, we walk in darkness.
Yes.
But when Jesus came into our lives, when we sought after him, then
mm-hmm.
we become into his marvelous light.
Marvelous, yes.
That's right. And when Jesus received, when we receive Jesus, it gives us salvation that
yes.
lasts forever.
Forever and ever. Yes.
That's right. Our salvation lasts forever. But it comes with a price.
Yes, it does.
You know? And that price is that we have to have faith in him. And
mm-hmm.
we must reach out and take him for ourselves.
That's right. Nobody can give it to you.
Nobody can do it but you.
That's
Nobody
right.
Nobody can do it but
mm-hmm.
you. We
Amen.
Must believe in him.
Yes.
We must trust in him.
Thank you, Jesus.
In fact, Jesus is our hope.
Yes, he
you
is.
Know, and oh, our yeah. salvation is the result of receiving Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know,
right.
Our salvation
yeah.
is the result. And his nature is holy. Jesus'
yes.
nature is holy. He lived
yes.
and died without sin, like Evangelist
mm-hmm.
Hilda said.
Amen.
And he came to the world, to the a world of spiritual darkness. So
yes.
all of us was in a world of spiritual darkness, but when
mm-hmm.
we reach out to Jesus, when we reach out and seek him,
yes.
and we come into his kingdom, we
mm-hmm.
receive Jesus as Lord of our lives, then we
mm-hmm.
come into a marvelous light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our eyes are open up. The,
yes.
the darkness is taken off of us. The darkness is taken
Hallelujah.
Off of our eyes. Not only that, we're able to be able to go into God in prayer without our sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because Jesus
yes.
became the final sacrifice.
Yes,
so we're
indeed.
Able to just go to God
mm-hmm.
personally, a one-on-one
yes.
basis. When we
oh.
go into our secret prayer classes.
Prayer
I really
yes.
enjoyed that message today from you,
Thank
Evangelist.
You.
So that was beautiful. Amen.
Amen. And it's very fitting for this time of the year because now
yes.
this is our Good Friday and Resurrection Day is Sunday. So this message, because we all know that Jesus is the bread of life and, you
okay.
know, without him, there is no life.
Yes.
Praise be to God. Mm. Well, so I hope and pray that everyone got was blessed by this message this evening. And, you know, and I want you to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you until we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins will come and bless our hearts with a word from the Lord. So you don't want to miss this Holy Ghost-filled woman on fire for the Lord. Tune in at 10 a.m. And following our message with Apostle Mother Wiggins will be our portress, Barbara Amore, and she's going to bless us with her poetry. And following the poetry will be Talk in the Sanctuary with our very own Associate Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministries. Amen. So God bless you all. have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And again, happy Sabbath to those who celebrate Sabbath on Saturdays. And we also going to have our communion service also. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Because
praise
it's our first Saturday is communion for pray one for another. And first Sunday is communion for House of the Lord online ministry with our very own Apostle R.D. Wiggins. Amen. So again, God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. We love you guys. And again, call in your prayer requests from Tuesdays to Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. Amen. Mother, love you. And
love you too.
Tomorrow. God bless you. And have a good night.
Okay. You too.
I will.
Love you, radio listeners. Good night.
Good night, radio listeners. God bless you and peace be upon you. And at this time, I'm going to close us out with All Belongs to You by the Wiki Tones. Praise God. Good night and shalom.
Okay, good night.
Okay, good night.
I can't help but want. Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.